We're going to be in John, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and then on into Revelation today. And so please keep your Bibles handy. John chapter 5, and we're going to read, as we have been, and just to prepare, just to get us started with these resurrections, in the 28th verse. John chapter 5, verse 28, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now, we are going to go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we will read those verses of Scripture while we're still standing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll begin with the 11th verse through the 15th verse. 1 Corinthians 3. "Now, if any man," I'm sorry, verse 11, "for other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And we'll end with that 15th verse and begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come, and we do have your precious word in our hands, and we can come together and study it and grow and become closer to you. First of all, dear Lord, we need to come to know you. And as we have said with the funeral, what a sad time to live one day without you, but to live a lifetime without you. Please, and dear Lord, that you will convict every heart today. Show us your word. Show us your truth. Bring us to that place of the cross where you, Lord Jesus, died, that we can live. We need to come by faith and realize that we're lost and we need a Savior. And you are the only Savior, the true Savior. So please, that we trust in you and come by faith to you. And then we can begin this wonderful life of serving you and praising you and honoring you. And so please just touch our hearts now as we study these precious few words that you have given us here as we have this this short time together. And I ask that this not be the end of our reading and the end of our studying, but we do it every day that we come and spend time with you. Now please guide and lead us and touch every heart here today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we have been in John and then back here in 1 Corinthians for a few weeks, we continue to look step by step and stage by stage, and it's going to prepare us, and I believe that we are to learn, and when we do learn little bit upon little bit, precept upon precept, that it just begins, we build upon this foundation. And so I hope that each time that we come together that you leave with a truth that you never quite understood before, because it's just, you've learned just a little bit, and maybe it just applies to you today. And so first of all, we looked at Revelation chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 20. We looked at the lost. We looked at a physical judgment that's going to come upon the world for those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we looked at also there not only a spiritual judgment, but also it will be a physical judgment too, as they are bodily cast. Their soul and body will be reunited for the judgment and be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. And then we have come further and looked here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 at the a judgment that's going to take place for those that are saved. And in that, we have found that there's gold, silver, and precious stones. We have found that there these works that we do, that they are all tested by fire. as a believer, they will be tested by fire. And gold, silver, and precious stones, when tested by fire, makes it greater, makes it of more importance, makes it more precious, makes it more valuable when it's been tested by this fire. Now, the world, and we have looked at another list here, which is wood, hay, and stubble. And this second list, the wood, hay, and stubble, we found that it tested by fire has no value. And so we take one material, one product, and it is made of a greater value through the fire, and another is made of no value through the fire. And this is all works. This is all the material, so to speak, that you and I are producing with our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. Lost has no place here. The lost we have already dealt with concerning the other judgment. And there is the very book that tells us of heaven is the one that speaks so clearly of hell, and yet people deny that. They deny that part. The very book that tells us of heaven and how to get to heaven are the same people that says, I'm a good person, and so I'm going to be fine, and I'll get to heaven. No, you won't. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you must be born again. So we've placed this wood, hay, and stubble as false truths. One is truth. Everything that we build that brings honor and glory to our God is would be listed under the truths, and we find that in our guide here, in our set of plans that we have. It is ready. We need to use it, to study it. That way we can prepare our day, each and every day that we have. Now, the wood, hay, and stubble, those works that we would do, those materials that we produce with our lives, we find will be built on all lies. And so we can do two things. We can say one is a truth and the other is a lie. Now the world will continue. And they do today, and they have since the beginning of time, they have told lies. And they know that once a lie has been told enough times, to the world it becomes a truth. And that's the reason that the church today has been so deceived, and that's the reason that people today believe that you can get to heaven by your good works by some means, because that lie has been added, and some people believe that through baptism you receive salvation, and so if you are baptized, why, then you're okay. And so all these are lies, and even a believer can be a part of these lies. And there are so many today that are teaching false truths, but they have been said so long and for so many times that the world and even a believer has accepted them as truths. Well, they will be the wood, hay, and stubble, and they will be truly our lies. They are false. They'll be tested by fire, and they'll be found to have no value. And so we need to look to this guide and follow after that guy. And the 13th verse of this 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, not only will every man's work shall be manifest in the day it shall declare it, we've been through that, because it shall be revealed by fire. Revealed by fire. The fire shall give every man's work what sort it is, the scripture tells us. So fire is going to determine that. We've talked about that God judges in perfect righteousness. Man judge totally by appearance. It's what we see, not what is true. We need to understand that to serve God and to praise God and to honor God must come with quality, not with quantity. And people build churches today, preachers build churches today, dealing solely with numbers. Because numbers result in more money. And more money result in more stuff. And that's what they set their eyes and their lives upon. Instead of setting upon something of importance, of the cross of Calvary and never leaving the need of salvation. And staying with the truths and studying the truth. The heart led by Christ is one that will build the foundation of gold, silver, and precious stones. And then the 14th verse tells us, if any man's work abide. Now that word abide is to endure. And that took us back to Revelation chapter 3. And we spent last time back in Revelation chapter 3 looking at the 20th and the 22nd verse. And we find that if we will endure, if we abide, we will also reign with him. It's going to be a glorious day. Now, we went back to this Revelation chapter 3, and we found the church of Laodicea. And we found the Lord Jesus himself standing on the outside, knocking, desiring to come in to the church. It is a church that has locked the door. And Jesus will not force himself into your life. He will not force himself into a church. He comes when he is invited. And that shows the great love that he has for us, because he wants us to invite him in. And he will come in and sup with us. And please that you understand the need, the great need that we have, because without the Lord Jesus' presence here, without his power here, without the Holy Spirit here, we're just another club. We're nothing. And that is the condition of most places today that call themselves churches. And then in the 21st verse of Revelation chapter 3, we covered those that overcome. And that has been misunderstood by many, because they believe that that's those that if they work and work and work, and maybe finally I'll get to heaven. Well, heaven is a free gift of salvation. We are here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talking only about believers and building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Well, you must be born again in order to have this foundation. So we start there, and then those that overcome, those that serve, those that work, those that stay true to the Word of God will receive very special rewards. It's not concerning our salvation. We have discussed that Jesus is an overcomer. He lived, he came from glory and came down upon this earth. And he lived, and then he died, and then he rose again. He is an overcomer. You know, he went to the garden, and where it's not going to be too long, we're going to be to this to the resurrection time, and we'll be looking at these verses of Scripture. But he came to the garden, and he asked his Father if he would lift this cup from me. It was such a burden and such a load. But you see, he wanted to do his Father's will. And so even when the burden becomes great, even then the load seems to be more than we can bear, if we'll turn unto our God, he will give us the strength to carry it out if it's something that he wants carried out. And so we need to be an overcomer. And he did the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, did the same thing. He says, not my will, but thine. If that's what you want me to do, Father, that's what I'll do. And we need to do the same, because you see, Jesus is an overcomer. And then we find in not only the abiding here, and we looked at this to be an overcomer, one that abides, one that serves, one that works, one that stays true to the Word of God. He hath built thereon, and he shall receive a reward. The end of the 14th verse there tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He shall receive a reward. And that's kind of the place that we had gotten to last week. He shall receive a reward. One of those rewards is we will reign with him. Revelation chapter 22, verse 5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Whatever we do should always be to the glory of God. There's also the side of suffering loss, and we're going to look at that in the 15th verse now. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Suffer loss. Suffer loss. To suffer loss means that that individual shall pay. To suffer loss means that you pay. It costs you. It brings the term of ye shall be fined. If we do not serve our God, when we stand before Him, there'll be as if we are fined, or we will have pay taken away from us, is also part of that. Shall suffer loss. 2 John verse 8, 2 John verse 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. So let's see that the work and the service that we give. You know, many work at their work very and diligently, very hard, give it all, and should. A Christian should work harder and give their life more than anyone else. When we go to work, it should be Christ should be honored by the way we work and what we do. And so no matter what the situation, we need to give God our all at work, and we need to do that. And most do that. Most work hard. Some go just to get by and come home with a paycheck and think they didn't get enough. Some will do that. But I hope that a Christian doesn't do that, because that's a terrible testimony to our Lord, because we should be giving our all. But sad to say today that not only people work very hard at work, which is good, but most people work harder at play than they do at work. Their desire is more that with all the toys of the world that we have. And I know, and being an employer, I love to have employees that work harder at work, or if they would work as hard at work as they do at playing, you'd have a good employee. Oh, they work and work and work, and I don't care what, you know, whether you hunt or fish or whatever you do, you know, whatever toys that you have, when you go about your playing, dollars is no problem. Time, get off work. You've worked hard all day, but you'll drive all night to go maybe to some fishing tournament or something like that. Or drive all night so you can do one of your toys that you have purchased. Few work for the Lord and His church with such an effort. Folks don't see the need to serve God and to praise God, even equal to working for their employer. They don't see the need. It doesn't come to their mind. And you know why it doesn't? Because if you work and you work hard, you get paid for it. And for some reason, we don't realize what we owe our Lord and our Savior. He has paid a debt that we are totally unable to pay. And we, in some small way, can work and return that back to Him, just to show love that we have for what He has done for us. But we do everything, and we work hard and do it to our best of our ability so we can get that pay and maybe even get a little extra pay. But again, few work for the Lord with such enthusiasm. Few work for the Lord and His church with a desire to please our God. Out of these three, there is only one that has value in this life and has value in the next life. And that, of course, is the third one: to work and to serve our God. It's the only one. It's the only one that gives rewards today and tomorrow. and forever. It's the only one. And yet we work so hard to work at our job and work so hard to play. I came down the street yesterday, and in the back of four pickups was four super fancy four-wheelers. Now, I know that they were going to go search a place where they could build a church, and they needed these to get there. I mean, I know that that's what it was. Money's nothing when it comes to toys. But when you face that grave, and when that casket was closed, a couple things went along. I don't believe he'll enjoy them, but a couple things went along. One was his John Deere hat, and the second thing was his John Deere blanket. Those two things were put in the casket, and they closed the casket. All of his efforts of all of his life were left. Our work, our play, and our service to the Lord. The service to the Lord should be first. And it will last. The devil's primary desire, the devil is set out to literally damn every soul, every individual, and then see that they will spend eternity in the place of torment. Now, that's the devil's work. That's what he set out to do. Now, when he loses a soul every once in a while, because someone by faith comes to Jesus and gets saved, he does not let up. Just because he's lost that soul, now he's setting out to make that soul and that life one that is wood, hay, and stubble, one that is of total dishonor. If the devil cannot damn your soul, he will do his best to rob you of every reward available. And that's what he sets out to do. And you see, the scripture says, saved so as by fire or through the fire. And so, your soul you will keep. Jesus saves you, Jesus keeps you. But this reward, failing to serve, call it stewardship if you'd like to, does not mean a loss of life or salvation. Many a preacher has went with the wisdom of man instead of the power of the Spirit of God. They will suffer loss. We are sending up material on a daily basis heavenward by what we do. I hope that what we do is to the honor and glory of God. And there is a perfect record kept each day, each level of service that we do, and will be revealed at the judgment seat of Christ. Gold, silver, precious stones will receive reward. Wood, hay, and stubble, on the other hand, will be destroyed, will be burnt. Now, we have talked about this judgment seat. And in closing out this John chapter 5, 1 Corinthians, and going back to the sixth chapter and the chapter in Revelation, looking at the judgments that we have. I want you to see so we get this in place. What event is coming next to the church? It will come prior to the judgment seat of Christ. It'll come prior to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I asked the Sunday school class this morning in the beginning, we have two suppers, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we have the supper of the great God. And I asked which that they preferred to go to, the marriage supper of the Lamb or the supper of the great God. Well, Aaron, listening to the words, supper of the great God, that had to be more food. It just had to be. And so he chose that one. Jayla chose the supper of the Lamb. Listen to see which made the proper choice. One's a good choice. One is not such a good choice. Matter of fact, a very terrible choice. We have the rapture of the church is the next to come. Now, whether we die and go into the grave or whether we're alive. Whether we're alive. Now, say that the church is raptured right now. And so you and I that know Jesus will go right into his presence and go right to the judgment seat of Christ. That's the next to come. Now, those that are lost then, why, they'll go into the tribulation, so you can kind of hold that together. Now, we're going to go through several verses of Scripture here, and I don't want to quit till we're done, so we may have to call in dinner. 1 Thessalonians is where we're going next. These will be areas of Scripture that we're going to be looking at the next few weeks, and so if you have any questions. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 13 through 18. Very familiar Scripture verse for you, I would say, for most of you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then Paul says, comfort one another with these words. And they should be wonderful words of comfort to all of us, those that have went into the grave knowing Christ, those of us that are still alive that know Christ. Either way, it's going to be a glorious and wonderful day. Now, this scripture verse that we have just read in 1 Thessalonians 4 is the end of the church. It's the end of the church. The church begins, and if this afternoon go back, and you can go back to Acts chapter 2 and read from verse 1 to verse 7, and that is the birth of the church. And so we have the beginning and we have the end. We have the start and we have literally to terminate the church as we know it. Because when we leave here, when the church leaves here, and goes to heaven, that time period is finished, that glorious time when the Spirit of God comes to indwell a believer, the church age is over at the rapture of the church. And so I want you to understand that. And the beginning again would be back in Acts chapter 2, if you want to go to there. Now, we're going to go on to Revelation, because I want you to find the church now, because it no longer is called the church, but it is called the 24 elders. And so if we go back to Revelation chapter 4 And we're going to read the first four verses, but I'm just going to read the fourth verse for time, so please that you would read ahead. And it speaks in the first verse, "After this I look, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, come up hither." Now, if you come down to the fourth verse, this is Revelation 4, verse 4. "And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." Now, the 24 elders, that has become the church. That's the church. Okay, now let's go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19:7. "We have left the earth, we have went to heaven." That was the rapture, and then we have what we know as the judgment seat. But first here, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." Now, how has she made herself ready? How has she made herself ready? Again, this is the speaks of the 24 elders here. The next that is to come to pass is the marriage supper of the Lamb. But the bride must make herself ready for that. And so as we've looked at the works, we've looked at the gold, silver, and precious stones, the wood, hay, and stubble. Well, when and what makes us prepared and ready? You think, well, I'm saved. I'm covered with the blood of Jesus. Yes, that got you there, but we need to get ready for the supper, ready for the wedding. Because we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb, and when we come back down at the end of this period of time, the 7 years, when we come back down with Christ, you need to understand that we're his wife then. And so those events have taken place during the 7 years of tribulation here upon this earth. Now let's hold here to Revelation, because we're going to be right back there. But just slip over to 1 John with me, because there's a verse of Scripture there that I think needs to be read before we go on. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. "And now, little children, abide in him," we have that word abide again, "that when he shall appear, that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Okay, we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. Now, this seventh verse, again, back in Revelation 19:7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, his wife hath made herself ready." There is a preparation period. And that preparation period is at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if you look at Romans, and please just write it down so you can look this afternoon, Romans 14:10, and also 2 Corinthians 5:10, both speak of this judgment seat of Christ. And that's where Jesus takes what we have done in service and arrays us with that and prepares us for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Cleansing, the rewarding for works. This precedes the marriage of the Lamb. Next is the marriage. Following the marriage, we find in Revelation 19, the 11th verse, "I saw heaven opened, And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. We look at that verse of Scripture, those verses of Scripture, and then the 16th, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who is that army coming with him? It is his wife. It is you and I. Believers in Jesus Christ, we will have first the rapture ends the church age here. Then the judgment seat of Christ will prepare us for the marriage supper of the Lamb and the marriage. And then closing that, at the end of the 7 years, we will return with our Lord. And we will come down to this earth. Now when we return, we come then to the 17th verse. The question I asked early, marriage supper of the Lamb or supper of the great God? Which would you prefer to be? We've talked about the marriage supper of the Lamb, that joyous time that we will have there. Now, the verse 17 gives us the supper of the great God. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. One, we will sit and dine. The second one, we are the meal. All the birds and the fowls of the world will come and eat and clean up the flesh